will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
You're listening to episode, is it 61 or 62? I don't even know. On the 16th of November 2005. Oh, have I been a busy bunny. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man.
Oh, I'm glad everything is back
in
action.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm glad everything is back in action after a very eventful afternoon of immense moving and configuring things and taking things apart and all that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. After port scanning a frickin' Dellnet server, I finally found a port that wasn't too busy that I could connect to.
Very nice.
Yeah, frickin' pain in the ass. I'm gonna go on a little rant on this in the show. We need to switch over, man.
Definitely. So you sure it's just because they're busy, or is it just that?
I'm thinking it might be some weird filter that they set up, but since like the other server that we connect to is on the same port,
yeah.
Then if I'm being firewalled, it's being firewalled via IP and not via. Via port.
Sure.
But that doesn't make sense either, because then if I change servers, I wouldn't be firewalled. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
So, I don't know.
It's not making much sense, is it?
I mean, my whole networking setup is screwy as hell, so I can't really rule out the fact that it's not coming from my side.
Yeah.
What I do know is that I could connect to every other IRC server that I tried to, except for Dellnet.
Weird.
Which makes me just tend to believe that on there.
Yeah, it most definitely is, you know. There's not much we can do about that, apart from switch. I mean, definitely. I said there's not much we can do apart from switch.
Yeah. I wouldn't, I don't know, I'm all for it. At this point, like, I was for it before because I'd had a couple annoying instances where something like this had happened. And it does always clear up. Like, tomorrow I'll probably be able to use Dellnet just fine.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for more stability, more reliability. Plus, it's faster since not too many people are on it.
Yeah.
I mean, we could always just leave the message...
Yeah, we've moved.
On our Dellnet server, that we're over here right now.
Yeah.
Come on over and say hi.
Yeah. I mean...
And people will.
What was I going to say to you? I was going to say something. Yeah, we could always make our own dedicated system.
We could. That would be tremendously more secure.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, for some reason, I was installing the new system that you know about. I moved it, and I guess it started fucking things up. So I'm gonna have to reinstall Debian. But that's another thing.
That's okay.
Whole other beans. Let's start off with today's news. Some interesting news, which is completely left
my
head. Sorry. Are we on? Yeah.
We're on?
Yeah, we're on ages ago.
Holy crap. Okay, go for it.
Does anyone have any news? I know there's some things have been going on in the UK.
You go ahead with what you got. I'm going to
look stuff up.
Pull up what I had. I'm a little disoriented right now.
Yeah, same here. God, I can't be any more disoriented right now because I've completely moved my desk and everything's different. Do you have any news, Planet?
Yeah, I got a couple of things, but sounds like you're pretty excited about something you found out, and I think there might be a bit of crossover, so you go ahead, and I might chime in when you're done.
Okay. Invisible Person, do you have any news? Yes, you go ahead, you bastard. right, what's happening in the UK? Funny news to start things off. Have you seen Lassie and how she's a helpful dog, or is it a he or she? I don't know. Anyway, a elderly grandmother was stuck in the mud, and as firemen approached to actually excavate her from the mud, her two bulldogs attacked the firemen, stopping them from being able to reach her. It took them about half an hour to call for a local kind of veterinarian to come and assist them and lure away the dogs from the grandmother, and then they were able to actually extract the grandmother out of the ground. So I thought that was pretty funny, and that's it for now from me. Over to you, Planet.
Okay, little thing here from theregister.co.uk, a very fine source of news, which is the DVLA and the police and people like that are trying to roll out a 24/7 vehicle movement database. Now, let's just read the first few lines from the Register there, because they put it better than I can. 24/7 national vehicle movement database that logs everything on the UK's roads and retains the data for at least 2 years is now being built, according to the Association of Chief Police Officers strategy document that was leaked to the Sunday Times. The system, which will use automatic number plate recognition and will be overseen from the control centre in Hendon, London, is a sort of GATSO 2 network. GATSO network being the speed cameras, which is currently in operation. They kind of go off on a tangent a bit here. The control centre is intended to go live in April of next year and is intended to be processing 50 million number plates per day by the end of 2006. Now, what they're trying to do here is tie in all the CCTV, the automatic number plate recognition, and really extend that across the whole of the UK, and log all the car movements into a giant database and hold onto that data for 2 years.
Interesting. Yeah.
Flipping nuts is this. This is kind of like the low-tech version of the what they're trying to do with the RFID and number plates.
That's right.
This is what they're trying to put in the meantime until they can get that other technology in.
Yeah.
They don't have to get any kind of parliamentary approval on this. Because most of this already exists, it's just kind of an upgrade to it, and they're just expanding the service. And it's intended to log every single license plate wherever it goes, through cameras, through automatic recognition, and everything like that. And that's just as bad, if not worse, than sticking RFID chips in the bloody license plates and logging wherever they go. It's the same end result. But they don't have to ask for anyone's permission to do this. You know, there doesn't have to be a vote on it like there is with the ID cards. They're just doing it.
Yeah.
In 2006.
Yeah. That's pretty
fucking mental. Yeah.
I have some. Yeah.
The other part I just wanted about this thing is that they're throwing them up every quarter mile.
Right.
The only conceivable use for that would be to use these for traffic control devices to be able to issue tickets.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just looking like it's going to be another another way to, you know, mail people tickets.
Hmm. Weird. I mean, what I have is large-scale iris scan is coming into play. Basically. Oh, fuck. Okay, I'm just going to ignore some of this. Right, they used to guard high security vaults in films, film Mission Impossible, but until now, iris recognition systems have remained largely in the realm of spy movies, mainly due to the lack of reliable technology. However, the iris scanners, which can be used to fight crime, have had 100% success rate in tests. It has been reported. The system has performed better and faster than any existing iris reading system, scientists said. The scanners record a person's unique iris pattern using a computer algorithm that then is used to create a unique barcode that is sorted into a database. Professor Don Mornos, one of the team of researchers in Bath University, said that the algorithm has been 100% accurate in our initial trials, outperformed the industrial standards by a long way. Government plans to use the face iris and fingerprint scans as a part of the new ID scheme. They have flattered following poor results in trials. Martin George, a chief executive of the Smart Census, which is working with the scheme, said an iris recognition system is very important in fighting terrorism. Illegal when you need to confirm somebody's identity. However, the new system cannot be marketed in Britain until next year. Then a patent on the concept and of the iris recognition system, of the current iris recognition system, expires. So basically what they're doing is they've developed a faster, high-speed iris recognition system that they're planning to implement sometime soon.
Well, it just means it's time to get colored contacts.
Yeah. It's time to poke your eyes out.
Never before would a blind man with glass eyes be so advantaged.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
All right, well, let's see. I've got one for you. I was talking a little bit about it yesterday. It's the Nokia 770 internet tablet.
Yeah.
Coming out. Basically, it's going to have Wi-Fi access, email, word processing, web, all of that stuff. The thing that makes this really neat is, one, it's really tiny, has a nice high-resolution, fairly large screen, and what I like is it's running a hacked version of Debian.
Right.
That's right. Linux is moving in
to the mainstream.
The mainstream, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nokia is making it.
Wow.
Like, I know they have the Linux embedded cell phones. They're coming out with tablets. They're moving towards it.
Mm.
And almost in retrospect to this article is yet another release from Microsoft downplaying the advantages of using Linux servers.
Really?
Coincidence? I think not.
Hmm.
Now, Microsoft is saying that business environments are quote-unquote hitting the wall as to what Linux is capable of and are toting their server platforms as a better alternative.
Yeah. Because
surprise, surprise, surprise.
When did Microsoft hit the wall? A few years ago.
Oh, God. Let's see. When did they put a GUI in it? terrible, terrible stuff. But yeah, this tablet here looks.
Yeah, it looks fucking
like
amazing.
Quite a neat toy.
Oh man, you
yeah,
know they.
It's actually it's cheap too.
I have to say something.
Go
ahead. About this tablet is it's very nice, but they've missed one very important function out. Why the hell did they incorporate a mobile phone system into it so that you can put your SIM card? It's not hard. They can do it very simply. Let it be a Wi-Fi tablet, and so you can make calls from it as well. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no, no. I'd agree with you there. Yeah. Especially being that it's Nokia, you'd think that they'd have a vested interest in that.
Precisely. I mean,
but,
I think this thing is going to be mainly used... they're targeting this at the market of businessmen where they're in the home, they want to check the staff, they've got Wi-Fi, then they go, you know, traveling around, they pick up a Wi-Fi point, you know, it just seems okay, but it could be so much better with a SIM card in it. But what I'm thinking is,
what I want to know is if they have AppGet.
Yeah. But I'm thinking that they're moving away from the whole SIM card sort of telecommunication. I'm looking at the next future of mobile phones as a multi-device station where you can have that tablet be the mobile phone. It picks up calls as well as a standard mobile phone in your house or your house phone or your soft phone on your computer. I think that's the way they're trying to do stuff. I might be wrong.
Well, I think the main disadvantage in including cell phone capability into this tablet is that it's too large.
Yeah.
Without a headset.
Yeah.
To really make a decent or usable cell phone.
Mm.
I don't know. We'd have to talk to the people at Nokia about that.
Yeah.
But it looked pretty nice.
I think it's going to be a while before.
For $350, what you get with it is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, it has an 800 by 480 high-resolution touchscreen.
Right.
You know, it comes with a web browser, email client, internet radio, news reader, media player, image viewer, file manager, calculator, a PDF viewer.
Yeah, everything.
Embedded, notepad, sketchpad, comes with games.
Wow.
Has an onboard 128 meg flash memory drive.
Wow.
Has an expansion slot, a flash expansion slot. You know, it handles, as far as audio goes, MP3, MPEG-4, AAC, WAV, MAR, or AMR rather, MP2 files. Can handle like 5 or 6 different video functions, including AVI with DivX and Xvid.
Mm.
It comes with embedded Wi-Fi, B&G, and Bluetooth.
That's awesome.
USB connectivity. It has a 3.5mm stereo output.
Wow.
This looks like... Wow. And for $350 U.S., that's pretty cheap for something like this.
Mm.
And that's new. I don't know. I haven't played with one, so I can't, like, sing its praises too much. But
sure.
It looks pretty damn promising.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how the technology develops, I guess. Well, I mean, in to say that, it's already good, it's impressive, but... All I'm saying is, let's see how it is 4 months down the line, sort of thing. How many people have bought this? And how hackable it really is.
Yeah, that's very true. Mm. But being that it's based on a Linux platform, I think hackability is going to be pretty high.
Yeah, yeah.
As for how many people actually pick one up and try and hack it, well, who knows? I'd just be happy if sales were high and, you know, Linux hits the mainstream even harder.
This might just be the key, you know? It just might be the key. I think, you know, like... I'm not going to name any names, but I know people that work in the open source Nokia department, basically. And I think that's a push for them, is getting Linux into the mainstream. And these are good people. They know what's going on. They know how they want to see the future of operating systems and integrated connectivity of different operating systems. And I think the way they see it is the only way they can do it is through open source.
Yeah. Well, closed source Linux is kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, they wouldn't have installed Windows CE on that thing. Full stop.
No, although they could have.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's looking very good. And I like the fact that they're pushing this open source.
Yeah.
If nothing else, you know, even if it doesn't do terribly well, it's like yet another thing that people have recognized that, you know, Linux is good for. Linux is good for hardware.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. I mean, even my boss, who knows freaking jack all about computers. I mean, he's a department manager of a butcher shop.
Mm-hmm.
Knows that people who know computers don't fuck around with Windows. They use Linux.
And that's very true.
Which it was just surprising coming from him.
Right. I heard that the DVDs are ready to go.
Ooh, ka-ching, yep. Bada-bing, boom.
A little birdie told me.
They're all burnt and they're nice. Going out already.
Fantastic. That's exciting, though. That really is.
That is very exciting news.
Mm. And, I think... there'll be some more news coming out maybe in the next few weeks about some related things with developments of maybe the quality of the show and stuff like that. Not really disclosing too much, but everyone's going to know sometime soon what's happening with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, he's already said that anyway.
I've got a bit of news for Planet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's that, man?
Yeah, I remember a quote from him saying, "Come back, Atari, you're forgiven." Well, not that the Atari True. Corporation has done this, but if you go to www.benhec.com. They have made an Atari 800XE laptop.
I was checking this out earlier today, actually. It looks pretty damn sweet.
Yeah, I love, like, the freaking wood grain.
So Atari have made...
The wood grain has got, like, left and right embedded controllers.
Wow.
Full freaking QWERTY keyboard. It runs the Atari XEGS game system, the computer prototype from 1987. Embedded stereo speakers.
Wow.
It is perhaps the most unique looking laptop I have ever seen.
You're going to have to post a link of that somewhere in the forums. Talking about hardware... it looks like the Xbox 360 hardware has been disassembled and analyzed. Basically, a group of guys have gone along and done some work with this baby. Now, why is this not... going to where I need it to go.
It's very good. And how many days till the release?
Till the Xbox. Don't know.
360? I'm thinking it's 5 days for its US release.
Oh, for its US release.
I seem to remember something about November the 21st.
I'm not sure.
You know, it just may come true that little prediction that I made about the first mod chip being out by the time the system's actually out.
Yeah.
It may just come true. We'll just see what those elite hardware hackers have to say about it.
Yeah. I wonder what's happening with that.
I don't know. I wish I was into that kind of underground scene.
You're looking at... the website is called www.anadtech, which is A-N-A-D... Sorry. Scratch that. anadtech.com/systems/showdoc.aspx?i=2610. I'm sure if you just entered AnadTech, you'll find a link to the insides of that baby anyway. There's quite a few pictures, and they've ripped it apart, taken it apart completely, analyzed it, and it's a whole article about it. It's looking pretty sweet. The actual machine itself is pretty sweet, but it's Microsoft, man. I wonder how quickly it's going to take for somebody to port Linux to it.
Oh, no, that's the thing. That's what the first mod chip will be.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it'll still be by the U.S. release date or within a week.
Yeah.
Of the U.S. release date.
Or it's probably already happened. They're just testing it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm pretty sure.
You don't reverse engineer an entire gaming system and not have something in mind.
Yeah. It's certainly...
God bless.
I mean, it's certainly a hardcore system. As far as how much the software utilizes the hardware, we'll just have to see.
Well, that's the nice thing about it, is that the software is probably, the initial software is going to be slightly better than the original Xbox.
Yeah.
But you remember, like, the first release of the PlayStation was in 1994. And by the time that the PS2 had come out, the leaps that they had made into pushing that hardware via the software were amazing.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the first games that came out were piss poor. Graphics rubbish. You could expect
they were souped up Super Nintendo games.
Yeah. When you think about
The time it was done, it was like incomparable.
Exactly. When you think about the later games like
Gran Turismo 2.
The thing I can remember with like Metal Gear. You know, the games that still
Metal Gear Solid, yeah.
Yeah, the games that were still on one disc, and then you had the two disc games, and it was just amazing right up to the end. And
oh,
it still
Final
is.
Fantasy series?
The Final Fantasy, oh god, yeah. Don't know how many of you like Final Fantasy.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
your favorite?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
See, the thing is, this is.
It would have to be 7, because that's the only one I've finished.
Okay. I'm going to come off with a little bit of an odd one here. My favorite was Final Fantasy II.
Right, okay. Back in the...
Nintendo.
Right.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, man.
The story I thought was incredible. The fact that it took you from, like, the upper world, then you went down into the underground world, and then you went to the frickin' moon. The number of vehicles available... And the thing that really did it was the number of armor and weapon combinations were, like, unprecedented. There were thousands, thousands of weapons and thousands of armor combinations.
Yeah, I think that game is just graphics, crazy. Well, graphics, as far as graphics goes, you know, it's a role-playing game, so there's not much to expect in the early ones, but as far as playing the game and hours of gameplay, that's probably the best game ever.
Yeah, and I gotta go with Final Fantasy II is the greatest. I'm interested in hearing what Planet has to say about this.
I'm just going to be predictable and say Final Fantasy VII.
You cut out there.
Sorry, man, I think I've got a little bit of intermittent gibbity-goop going on. But I'm going to be Mr. Predictable and say my favourite was Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, damn it, Planet. Just type it in IRC. I can't hear you.
He said his favourite is Final Fantasy VII. Like mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that was a damn good game.
Yeah.
It revolutionized the way it was done. I'll give you that. Perhaps I just have a penchant for the old school.
But you really do have to be a dedicated player and maybe about the age of 16 to 17 to play something like that, where you've got enough hands and you know that you're going to fail everything at school because you're going to be playing that game for hours on end, trying to complete it, going through the levels, reading
and
some
and you need like 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
Where you can handle it. I hear you.
Hmm.
I hear you. Now, if we can, I'd like to move on to a controversial topic.
Go ahead.
That I'm pretty sure we're not going to agree on.
Okay. No, I think you're wrong.
And it is the quote-unquote internet split.
Right, right, okay.
The EU and Iran and China and whatnot wanting to sort of wrest control out of root domain servers away from the United States. I do remember an earlier episode where Planet was so kind as to mention that, yes, most of the root domain servers are in the United States, and in a fairly small region, if those were taken out, the interweb as we know it would be taken out.
Told you.
I have to say that, in my opinion, I really don't see as why this should change.
I'm from the opinion of keep it the fuck away from China, as far as control.
Oh yeah, for goddamn sure. Oh yeah.
But I have to say, if you're gonna try doing something like that, you have to let each country who's capable of maintain it for themselves. If you see what I mean.
But to an extent, but I have to say that the infrastructure is here.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Because
by far.
We built it.
Yeah.
You know, we invented it. We innovated it.
But who's going
to say... And to date, we regulate it far less than any other country.
Yeah.
I mean...
I've got to say, I've got no problem with the states keeping it.
Mm.
But just keeping everything in one place, as we said, in no matter how secure a location, when everything's all clustered together like that, it is a very vulnerable point for the entire...
Oh, yeah, the security model, it sucks.
Yeah, fine, the states can keep it, but just split it up a bit and move it around. States is a big place, you know, so... Go for it.
I have a feeling that it is. It's probably one of those things that we could never confirm nor deny. But I'd be willing to bet if, like, Silicon Valley got nuked, secondary servers and infrastructure would pop up in places that we'd be like, whoa, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that, given the current, it's just a sheer economics. You know? If it goes down, if it craps out, the U.S., you know, our economics are going to suffer because of it.
Yeah.
And since our government is so intrinsically tied into business, I have a hard time believing that the infrastructure that has been developed right now does not have backup and does not have a way of redundantly securing the system.
I mean, from personal experience, because I've seen this kind of stuff, I know large banking organizations have multiple mirroring systems where they have a complete identical system, isolated, doing exactly the same thing that the main system is doing. It costs them loads, I mean, it just costs them billions to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but not nearly the cost it would cost of if their network went down.
Exactly, but that's why they do it, because if whatever happens to one system, they just switch over to the other one. And it's not even a fraction of a second. You don't even know that it's happened, because the two systems are working identically. So this is something that is built into the current internet. There's layers of the internet that work together. You could call it, you know, layer one, layer two, layer three, and layer three would be the routing of it from the ISP point of view. Layer two would be a trunk system around countries, and then layer one would be the domain naming system, which could be located in the USA. But the whole of the internet, when you visualize it, you can actually, there's actually a map of the internet somewhere, or if you Google it, is like a spiral kind of spider where bits of it link out to other bits, and other bits link. It's just like fractalized almost. So,
and the other thing about it, as far as like countries controlling their own DNS and their own way of doing things, China has shown beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is possible.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's fallible, as it's an enormous system. But there's no reason why interconnectivity from any one country can't be controlled by that country. It's just that the infrastructure at large is based in the United States.
Well, there's nothing to stop me. If I'm a country, let's say my country needs internet, basically. We invest billions of dollars. In the infrastructure, we set up the routers, we set up the firewalls to our country. You know, there's one point of entry, there's one point of exit. Let's say there's two points of entry, there's, you know, redundancy, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But there is a set point where stuff goes in and stuff comes out. And we can log all traffic and filter it. There's nothing to stop the country doing that, because in a way, the internet maybe isn't as mature right now for it to be possible, for it to be a matrix kind of, for it to be a fully living organism, if you see what I mean, where people link up to, countries link on to, for information to be spread. The fundamental structure of the internet is to serve information. So, I if you were going to take it from that point of view, then the only way you could do it is to say, what is it meant to do? How well does it do it? How well does this network serve information? If it doesn't serve information, then it shouldn't be a major link to the internet. If you see what I mean, that country shouldn't be allowed to block those ports. They shouldn't be allowed to filter that traffic.
Yeah. Well, on a free speech level, I'd say that's true. But on a technical level, I mean, China can do what it likes. Iran can do what it likes.
Yeah.
The only people that suffer are their citizens.
Yeah.
And the system as it's set up now does not really make it so that they can't.
Well, they could. They could just dial up to a externalized in another country. You know, it might cost them
a little more,
but they could, you know, I don't know, they could have an ISDN line that connects to a server that's externally. I mean, the internet as it now is, it would be very simple to divert that kind of stuff. I mean, you could be connected to their network and pretty much SSH into a box that's not within that firewall and pretty much do everything from there and have everything, you know, to your disposal. But I have to say...
Well, as a proponent of democracy and free speech and the freedom of information, I got to say that that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I just think that this entire concept of, like, setting up separate domain servers, setting up separate infrastructure. I mean, if any one country wants to do it, I mean, go ahead. But you're really just cutting off the abilities and the capabilities of your network.
Well,
like, it's going to be a long frickin' time until you can set up an infrastructure that even remotely rivals the one that has come about freely.
I mean, as a country, China is pretty fucked up, you know? They're imposing all sorts of stuff on their citizens, and you wouldn't expect anything less from them to be doing something like that. So it's just a case of taking the power back to the people somehow, bringing them the truth. You don't see too many, you know, you don't see too many Chinese people in our IRC or in the Western IRCs. You don't see too many people migrating information from country to country. It's too much...
it's too much risk.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, I can see that, but that's China's business and the Chinese people... You know, what I don't like to see is, like, corporations from the EU or British corporations or United States corporations like Yahoo coming in and aiding the Chinese government in restricting the flow of information.
Yeah, precisely.
Like, one of my big things is, like, yes, Yahoo will provide plenty of services that... Many of which, not their web search functions, but many of their other services that are either comparable or even better than what Google's doing.
Yeah. I have some
I simply will not buy into it. I refuse to use Yahoo. I think I had that rant a while ago. As soon as Yahoo, like, helped with the imprisonment of that foreign journalist, I was like, well, that's freaking screwy. Mm. Like, sure, go ahead, you know, buy up Chinese business methods and things like that, but as soon as you, as an American business, start subscribing to Chinese policies, then you're defying the entire point of a laissez-faire economy, which I think is becoming more and more moot in this point. But also, you're defying the ideas of freedom. And I refuse to buy into that. Screw them. Like, one of the greatest things that Google did was they actually made it so that their web cache could once again be viewed behind the Chinese firewall.
Yeah.
Simply by shifting URLs. I thought that that was great. There's a company who truly believes in the dissemination of data.
I've got some.
I mean, yeah.
Some interesting Google news.
Go for it.
A man was arrested after his wife was found with a broken neck floating by a river. He was arrested after a dozen machines were removed from his house, and they found that he was searching for neck, crack, break, and other sort of. Key words that he googled. Also, they found that he was researching tidal river tides, entry points to rivers and stuff like that. So this guy was basically arrested for the stuff they found that he was searching for. Now, obviously, you know, if your wife has been found a woman floating, broken neck, they searched his computer, they found all this stuff, and I mean, the first suspect would be on the shortlist would be the husband. So obviously they would do an investigation of his computer. They found all this keywords that he was searching for, and basically arrested him on that basis. So,
well,
yeah.
If I looked up on Google a good way to make napalm, then Googled people that could supply me with the products to make napalm, and then my house was burned down using napalm, and I claimed an insurance form, I wouldn't really, you know, protest too hard about them, arresting me for it.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, I could have been curious,
really,
and I might not have done it.
No, I don't see at all here a problem with arresting the guy. I mean, he's definitely going to be on way up on the fucking shortlist of suspects, because obviously they found all this stuff on his computer that he used the search engine Google to look at the information for. The thing is, if you were going to strangle somebody, would you Google neck break and, I don't know, strangle or whatever? I don't know what he was Googling it precisely, but I know it was those keywords.
If I was an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, no, most likely not. But I can't say that another person wouldn't.
Yeah.
And it certainly does put him pretty high on the list of suspects. I mean, the spouse is always pretty much on the top of the list, and then, you know, you start gathering evidence like that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's enough to convict him, but it's sure as hell enough to arrest him.
Yeah, exactly.
Too right.
It's weird, weird. I mean,
that is very weird.
Guy's an idiot if he was doing that.
Yeah, I gotta say. You gotta be a freaking moron. First off, breaking a neck is not like a complicated task.
No.
It's not like trying to freaking, you know, fix your Linux system so that it can read your USB drive or something along those lines.
Basically, you take the person's neck and then you squeeze it. And
twist
then
it until it breaks.
Exactly. You take the person's head and you twist it really fast in a 90-degree fashion, or 180 if you're strong enough, and you'll find that
360!
360!
720!
Yeah. I mean, shit, man. Do you have to draw somebody a diagram? Well, all I have to say is,
the man was either, like, really smart and lacking of all, like, common sense and notion of physics.
I mean, what's
or he was just, like, really, really fucking dumb.
I mean, what strikes me as I mean, he was from the US, so I guess he was really fucking dumb.
Probably.
I'm just kidding.
Ooh.
Ooh.
No, you don't have to be. Go ahead. I live here.
The thing that strikes me as odd in the report is that police removed a dozen computers. So they removed 12 machines from his house. Sorry, 6.
Yeah, he could network his entire house, but he couldn't figure out how to break someone's neck.
Exactly.
You know, there may be a good chance he was set up.
I think so. I mean,
it's possible.
I mean, really, if you were gonna, let's say you're married, you've been married for 3 years, the wife's a bitch, you're trying to sort out your stuff, you've got 6 computers, and you've networked them, and you're starting your own business, and she's yada 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 yada, and she's really pissing you off, and you decide to strangle her and dispose of her body somewhere in a river. Would you go out and actually Google the stuff? Like, oh, best ways to strangle someone. Where's the best river to dispose the body of? I mean, come
beyond
on.
Beyond which, do you know how easy it is to divorce a person in the United States?
Exactly. I mean, why can you... All right, they had two kids. They had two kids. And I think they were already kind of separated sort of thing, but I really believe that a sane person, if they were really determined... I mean, all right, you've got to be pretty insane if you decided to actually kill someone, but would you Google it? Fuck no.
Especially if you had any kind of technical knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds really sketchy. Well, the guy was just, like, so crazy he wasn't thinking straight.
Yeah. He forgot to clear his history.
Or, like... Yeah, no, well, Google caches all that anyway, but...
Well,
and
not,
they found
not,
it on the computer, too.
They found it... They didn't go to Google to get him. They found it all on the machine. So the guy was running Windows.
Well, that's just insane.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Could be a very elaborate setup, but it doesn't sound like it. Yeah. I think just some nutcase, basically.
Probably. Well, you know, I hope he gets what he deserves.
If he did it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he's guilty, then yeah.
Somebody should kick him in the nuts.
The whole thing just sounds really weird.
Yeah.
Then again, people never cease to amaze me in their level of weirdness.
I know. There's no patch for human... There's no patch for human stupidity.
Sure there is.
It's called death.
It's called 9mm.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm using that... picture you did as the front page of the website now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, but I have to say one thing is you said blah blah blah, Planet Rocks the Casper, you are skilled and I lead.
Oh, that one?
I would disagree with that. I don't think I'm a leader. I think, you know, if I, you know, to say I'm a leader, then that means I have followers, but I don't think any of you follow me. If you're weird to think about it.
Well,
that,
perhaps
so I
not. I was more giving you props for the November 11th show.
Right, sure. No, I'm not saying, you know, I don't know. I'll just shut up now.
I'm only following you if you go into the pub.
Yeah. I shall lead you to the pub. Okay.
Hooray!
Sounds good. Where are we going?
Yeah.
Just one more thing, because we're starting to run a little short on time.
Yeah.
Just want to squeeze this in before the end. A little new story from PCPro.co.uk.
Before we end, I'd love to do my presentation part two.
This is Sony is replacing XCP protected CDs.
Right.
Sony is replacing the XCP protected CDs after mounting pressure from basically everyone.
Wow.
The company has already said it would halt production of CDs using this controversial copy protection software, which is proven to be both a security nightmare for purchasers and a public relations disaster for Sony. Fantastic wording on that. Mm. Sony said, we share the concerns of consumers regarding discs with the XCP content protected software. Sure you do. Yeah. And for this reason, we are instituting a consumer exchange program and removing all unsold CDs with this crap on it. Mm. And we deeply regret all inconvenience this may have caused our customers. There are roughly 2.1 million of these CDs that are out there that have been sold, and they've got 2.6 million others that are still on the shelves in the shops.
So this is the first time Sony has actually spoken about this.
Yeah, they've held their hands up and they've said, okay, we're going to give a full refund and give you the same CD without all this shit on it. We've been bad, we apologise for the inconvenience and all this bollocks. It's absolute crap, to be honest. But if anyone who's listening who does have one of these XCP protected CDs, flipping out, please exercise your right, take it back to Sony, send it back, make them send you another CD, just to give them a kick up the arse for being such a bunch of arseholes.
Yeah. You know? Scan it before you install anything that you got back from them again. You find out they've got an upgraded version of the thing that doesn't have so many loopholes in the security.
Can't be detected.
Well, that can't be detected as well as the fucking other one. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So it sounds like to me Sony's put their tail behind the leg, between the legs, and is shitting themselves hardcorely.
Yeah.
If that is even
which
a
goes
word.
To show you, one guy's blog doesn't make a difference.
Mm.
Mm. All you got to do is put the information out there and let the chips fall where they may. Mm.
Just kick him in the arse, man.
Yeah, kick him in the nuts. Yeah. They deserve it.
I just hope everyone does return the CDs and really make them pay.
Yeah.
Because here's a CD they've already manufactured, they've got money for it. They have to take that CD because it's bad and it contains all this crappy software they thought it would be a good idea to put on. They have to take that back, destroy it, and give you a brand new one that they've paid for and manufactured as a refund for free. It's fantastic. I actually want to go out and buy some of these XCP CDs just to return them. Just to say, fuck you, Sony, you idiots, for doing something so stupid.
What you want to do...
If I can find some, I'm doing it.
No, you know what you should do is download the album, then download the XCP... Burn it onto a CD and send it off to them. Just to fuck with them. Like, go, hey man, you know, I'm still fucking. I want a return for everything I've downloaded, and I've installed your DRM software into it.
Just for fun.
Yeah, no, what? Yeah, yeah, just like copy the CD and send a copy of it off to them. God, I hate them
sounds
so much.
Good. I don't hate them. They're just noobs.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them.
No, I hate everyone that fucks with people like that. You know, these are innocent souls out there. And they're blinded by all this stuff, and they don't realize what they're doing, and they're running XP, and they're running fundamentally unsecure systems, hopefully patched. And they're installing this stuff that just lets any old fucking virus or anything like that get onto their system and, you know, rape their computer, literally, because they think they're safe. They think the product they're buying from Sony, and Sony is kind of a reputable company. But then again, they are the Microsoft of hardware, and I think I've said that quite a lot of times. And I just think that's unacceptable for such a large company, and I think they should suffer more than they are now.
Yeah, they should pay.
So
at least it's going to cost them millions of dollars to recall all those CDs.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of it. Fuck them.
Yeah,
it is a beautiful thing. I have a question. Do I have enough time to go into practical application in UK Freaking, UK Freaking Part 2?
If you can do it in 3 minutes.
Okay. I can try.
Red box. Well, how about doing it tomorrow?
I can try. If I get home from work early enough, then yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. How about we do that tomorrow or Friday or something like that?
Okay, let me check my schedule here.
Pull up my PDA.
We can see what we can do. No, I'm actually going to my wallet for a slip of paper that I've sketched it down on in pencil. I'm so high-tech. All right, well, tomorrow is going to be the first time until next Monday that I'll be able to do it. So, yeah, tomorrow looks good for me.
Cool, man.
Okay. Well, it was a good show.
All right, then.
I have to apologize to everybody who's listening and to you guys. I'm so unprepared. I was so prepared earlier with all the content and news and stuff like that. I came home, I set my mind on something, and everything else went out of the wall, went out the window, sorry. Because I wanted to get my system set up. But thanks for joining us on another episode. I promise tomorrow I'll be more prepared.
Cool. Did we ever get that episode number thing worked out?
Not really. I mean,
We're two episodes behind what we actually think we are.
So, I suggest we start making arbitrary and insequential numbers up for the show.
Yeah.
Like, today was 50-something, maybe tomorrow can be 70-something, the day after it'll be 60-something, etc., etc.
Just do them at random.
Yeah.
Just, you know, keep the users on their toes.
Yeah. I mean, the way I see it is, let's just ignore all that and go with what we have now, is if we are at episode... Wait, let me check this now on the website. What's our website again?
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, we can bring you a Streamcast show Monday through Friday. We just can't count.
I mean, how about we just lose the episode numbering? Because, I mean, do you record CNN and then look back at it? Oh, what was that episode of CNN again? You know, it's a new show. It shouldn't really be episodal.
Episodic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then again, I do count the episode numbers with The Simpsons.
Yeah. Well, it's episode 62 now. This is episode 62. So let's just ignore whatever happened before and just go with what we have now. If you see what I mean. That's how I see it. As far as numbering goes.
The truth is inconsequential.
No, it's really not that important because all the episodes are there. Whatever they're numbered doesn't matter. It's because I've said the date of them anyway.
Good.
See what I mean.
Then tomorrow's show shall be episode pi.
Okay.
Very well then.
Yeah, fuck it, you know.
That's the attitude I like to hear.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. I mean, in all essence, episode numbering doesn't mean a fucking thing. It's just the date of the episode. That it's going out, because that's the most important thing. When the episode was recorded, what day it was, what happened on that day. As far as, you know, it was an episode of 100, 200, it doesn't really matter the way it goes out. This is how I
Amen.
See it. I mean,
since they're all in order, why does the day even matter?
Well, it does, because when somebody listens back to it, or if somebody's downloaded it and listens back to it 3 months down the line, they might want to know what day it was that they're listening to it, or on the stream.
Hello, you're listening to the show for the 32nd of September.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just being a jackass.
Okay. I mean, I might be wrong.
I mean, no harm.
You might, Planet might disagree with me. About the numbering system.
I do a bit, because we tend to take a break every 40
yeah.
kind of episodes, and the first series contained 39, so that the second series would start with episode 40.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like a decent idea that's the cut-off point, and we know where we are when we say, this is episode X... we kind of mentally have an idea of when the series is going to finish and kind of be able to schedule that in with other real-life stuff.
We just never knew how hard it was.
Stuff like that. So it's good for the old grey matter upstairs.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. But all I'm thinking is, let's just go with the numbering system that we're going now. Let's finish off this season 2 at episode 80, because that's going to be from 40 to 80. So we're now... We're now more than halfway, about two episodes into halfway of season two. So even though we missed out maybe a couple during season one, as in the numbering, and maybe I fucked up the numbering. Let's just go with what currently we're doing now. I don't know. What do you think?
Can't we just blame it on Scobie?
Yeah, let's just blame it on Scobie.
It's his fault.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about that?
I'd actually change the numbers. I'm a bit anal and, obsessive compulsive and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it all has to be lined up and whatnot. That's what I'd do.
Yeah. I'd say we just label them all episode 62.
I mean, I really. I don't know. From where I see it, I don't mind that we're out of sync by two episodes in the numbering. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I think,
yeah, I don't know what happened there. But I'm just saying, I don't mind that we're out of sync by two or three episodes. Give or take, you know, I'm willing to have two more episodes in one season than we predicted. So let's say this is the perfect numbering scheme of episode two.
Cool.
Yeah?
We're infallible. It's the numbers that are wrong.
Yeah. So, like, season two will be from 41 to 80.
Yeah, or 40 to 79, I think.
Okay, sure. you're the man.
Like that.
Who does the DVDs? So, if you want to do it like that, then go ahead.
I tell you what, I'll tidy it up on the site a bit, and cool. Then it'll seem really straightforward and dead cool.
Okay.
Now that I've got the DVDs out, I can just upload that and clean it up a bit.
Fantastic.
Trust me.
No, I trust you. I'm just saying. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not too bothered about the numbering. You know, as far as that goes, we can always count them if we have to. You know. Anyway,
we should give each one a special name, like Bob or I don't know, Buster,
Margaret.
Yeah. Episode Margaret.
Welcome
is coming
to George.
Hide.
Okay.
We should name them like they name hurricanes.
Yeah. Episode Katrina.
Gonna fuck you up.
Then episode Lenny.
Yeah.
Then episode Margaret. Episode Nancy. Episode Oppenheimer. Episode Palindrome. Episode QWERTY. You know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I can see that pattern. Maybe. If we are high on some sort of drug, one day we might do it.
Which we know.
All right, well, when we get high.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we can close this episode on the 16th of November off.
Episode Margaret.
If unless you have any more things to talk about.
I'm good.
Cool.
You know me, I could talk for hours, but I'm okay for now.
Okay. Well, it was good kind of episode from you guys. I'm sorry about my complete disorganization.
The bastard will kill you.
I know more. I no longer have ops. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, good night. See you all tomorrow.
Good night.
Good night from Planet Lave. Thanks for coming.
The music should kick in sometime soon. There we go.
Thank you.